Nehemiah chapter 6. I think this is number 7 in our series of Make Me Successful. Just a reminder, I loved the Gideon report this morning, didn't you? Amen. What a wonderful ministry. Just what a wonderful blessing. And as was mentioned, you will have an opportunity to support that ministry following the services. We're going to ask our ushers to be posted in the back. And if the Lord would so lead you to contribute to that ministry, then you contribute. And what a privilege it is to get to be a part of that and to contribute to that ministry. Make Me Successful. Number 7, would you stand with me as we read from God's Word, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to talk about the enemy today. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors in the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent out to me saying, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, "I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?" Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Brother Joe Hogg, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. The first thing we notice is that there were no breaks in the walls. This entire book and this entire study has been, they've been building up to this point. They've dedicated themselves. They've sacrificed themselves to build this wall. But they finally come to that point. I get it now. Have you ever been to the point you think you saw the light at the end of the tunnel? That's where we were with this microphone and it popping. We thought we had it made, but apparently we don't. And so anyway, but we'll work on that. And if it's a distraction, I'm sorry. But as we come and we look today, we find them at that point where they're ready to finish, where they're ready to celebrate God's blessings. I can just imagine the feeling of satisfaction. You know, have you ever done that? You back up and you think, "Wow, we did it." They're at that point. But I want to point out to you, even though they're close, they're not there yet. And their enemy is very, very real. And the intention of their enemy is to destroy what they're doing. Okay? And I want us to understand, first of all, that there actually is an enemy. You actually have an adversary. And he is real. And you know, we look at Nehemiah and we look at Sanballat and Tobiah and those guys and we see them as Nehemiah's enemies. I want to challenge you today to think about who your enemy is. To realize that if you're a child of God, you have an enemy. Many people think, "Well, I don't have any enemies." Listen, if you don't have any enemies, you're not working for the Lord. Okay? I found that as we serve the Lord in our different ministries, there are some folks that are not going to like what we're doing, and they're going to set out to stop the good things that God is blessing in our lives and the good ministry that we undertake. And that's what's going on here for Nehemiah. His enemy was Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. That was the name. Enemy in the form of people. Who is your enemy today? We know it's Satan, okay? But the first thing I want you to understand is that Satan usually rears his ugly head in the form of people, all right? That's what happened in Nehemiah's case. Satan is using people to get in the way of the work that God has called Nehemiah and the children of Israel to. And the enemy, Sanballat, offers, now we know from past study, he's a rascal, right? And so he offers this innocent little invitation saying, "Come, let us meet together. Have you ever known somebody like that? That you just know they're up to no good. But their voice and their face and their expression is, come, I'm on your side. That's what Nehemiah's getting here. Let's let bygones be bygones. Let's bury the hatchet. Can't we all just get along? But we know who Sanballat was. And we know his true colors. We know that he's the enemy of Israel. And he's going to do anything that he can possibly do to stop Nehemiah and the children of Israel. And the hatchet he wants to bury, you know where he wants to bury the hatchet in, right? In Nehemiah's head. He wants to destroy the work, to stop it. Why? Why Nehemiah? What does he want to... Here's the reason, okay? And you need to get this. He chose Nehemiah because Nehemiah was a leader. And when you take out the leadership, the work or the ministry will most likely collapse. Did you get what I said? When you take out the leadership, the work will often collapse. And the first thing I want you to understand today is the potential for a plunge. Okay? As I prepared this message, God dealt with me for a good while on this message, reminding me, preacher, you need to be on your guard. You need to be ready. Have you ever watched as a pastor got in trouble? For whatever reason, financially or morality issues? Have you ever watched as a pastor fail what happened to the church? The church would also suffer. As a matter of fact, I'm reminded, did you know that if I were to pull some conniving, immoral stunt, do you know what the community would say about Victory Baptist Church? They would likely not call my name. They would say, do you know what the pastor of Victory Baptist Church did? You know? Why? Because I'm in that leadership role of being a pastor. And boy, I sat there and I thought about that for a while. And I prayed, oh Lord, give me wisdom. Help me identify the enemy when he attacks, when he's deceptive, when he tries to take me down. Because I don't want to tear down, Lord, I don't want your ministry to suffer. But I was also reminded that this isn't just about pastors. That most everyone in here is in a leadership role. Listen, you have a following. Do you know that? You have a following. People are watching you and they're taking your example to heart. They're going to do what you do. They're going to follow you. For some, it's fathers and their children looking up to them. Have you ever? You got to love that age when kids are so small and they look up and, I want to be like my daddy. Don't you love that? Amen. Then they get to be teenagers and they don't even want to be around their daddy, you know? But listen, even no matter what they say, they're looking up to their dad. And fathers, if you fall, I want you to understand you're going to take some folks with you, specifically your children. Maybe you're the mother. Those children are looking up to you, the Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're just that faithful Sunday school attender that people go to their Sunday school class and they just expect to see you there every week because they know you're faithful and they know you're always going to be there. But when you fall, I want you to understand if you fall, you're going to take some folks with you. Maybe it's just your friends. I've seen it so many times. And I want you to take this part to heart, okay? Because we're all in danger. I've seen it in marriages, in churches, you know, where a marriage goes bad and husband and wife decide they're not going to do this anymore. Have you ever watched as when there's one separation, there's usually 3, 4, 5, 6. Others will look at them and they say, well, if they can do it, I can too. You're taking people
with you if you fall. I've seen church members who just fall completely out of church. And guess what? They don't fall by themselves, because people are watching. And when you go down, get this, when you go down, my friends, you are responsible for the folks that are going down with you. Okay? You are. Because you were their example. Be aware of the intent of the enemy. His intent is to destroy your ministry. His intent is to stop the work. Do not allow it. Understand how important your work is. I like Nehemiah's response here. He said in verse 3, I'm doing a great work that I cannot come down. I'm doing a great work. Have you ever felt that way? That word great is talking about important. I'm doing important things so that I cannot come down. And the way it's worded, it literally in the Hebrew is worded so that he says, I'm not able to come down. This stuff that I'm doing is too important. My ministry, the wall building, is too important. What could possibly, and then he asked them the question, what could possibly be the reason that I should lay down my tools, quit the work, and come talk to you? Nothing. That was the answer. I'm doing a great work. Listen, if you're serving the Lord, if you're bringing up your children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, if you're concerned about having a godly marriage, if you're concerned about being a faithful church member, understand the importance of what you're doing. But also understand that there is no valid reason to quit. Okay? Why should you stop? There is no... I love old pastors. You know why? Because they get it. Old preachers get it. They realize how important the preaching and the Word of God is. And you cannot stop them. Brother Roach is not here today, is he? You know where Brother Roach is? If he's not here, he's either sick or he's preaching somewhere. And he's preaching somewhere, by the way. But you know what? He gets it. When he has an opportunity to proclaim the Word of God, his face just beams and lights up. Why? Because he gets it. How important what he does and what he's done through the years is. And now, why, you couldn't make him be quiet if you wanted to. And I say that in a good way. He's going to preach. He's going to tell people about Jesus. He's going to proclaim the awesomeness of our God because he gets it. I want you today to understand how important your ministry is as we build the walls at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. And there's going to be little things that get in the way that invite you to lay your ministry aside for a season. Those harmless little invitations like Sanballat. Oh, just stop a while. Come down. Let's talk this over. Have you seen people say, well, you know, I don't really want to, but I'm going to have to step down as Sunday school teacher for a few months. I'm going to have to lay aside my Sunday night attendance for a few weeks. I'm going to have to step out of the choir for a while. Okay, here's the challenge. What good reason is there for you to quit? Nothing. Nothing. There is no valid reason. As Nehemiah asked this question, why should I come talk to you and let this important work stop? You've got to ask the same question. Why should you quit and let the important stuff stop so you can take care of the junk? Yeah. Amen? I mean, we get so distracted thinking we've got to do this and we've got to do that and we've got to be involved in every civic organization and no, we got to serve the Lord. That's the important stuff. Do not let some conniving scheme of Satan sidetrack you. I've seen it so many times. People get, you know, to that point of faithfulness and they commit their life to the Lord. Things are going well and they're very focused. And Satan just offers, he dangles this non-important, trivial thing. And they'll lay down what they've been doing and say, I've got to take care of that. No, you don't. No. Why should you come down? There is no valid reason. And see, here's the problem. Once you stop, it's hard to start up again. Have you ever seen people as, you know, they talk about, well, I used to go to church. I've heard it all the time. Well, we used to go to church all the time. We used to, you know, be involved in the choir. We used to serve in Sunday school. We used to do all these things. And you say, what happened? And their response is, well, we just got out of the habit. That's not a good reason. Amen. You see what happens? It's when you lay the important stuff aside and start chasing the trivial stuff, it gets hard to get back where you're supposed to be. So the answer is, don't leave. Don't stop. There is nothing. There is no valid reason for you to quit serving the Lord. Brother Doug, you don't understand. They hurt my feelings. Oh, that's just part of church work. Amen. Boy, I figured out a long time ago, as a preacher, if I quit every time I hurt my feelings, I'd be moving a lot. But I decided I hate to move. So I've learned, you know, toughen up a little bit. It's not worth stopping my ministry. It's too important. But as you develop this mad dog stick-to-itiveness and this refusal to come down and I'm not going to stop serving the Lord no matter what, don't expect Satan to give up. Just expect his attacks to become more intense. As we read throughout this chapter, we find Sanballat's determination. Oh, he's determined. He sent to Nehemiah four times. Come. Let's, you know, just stop for a while. Come down and let's talk. We can all just get along. And then, after that, on the fifth time, he changed his approach. And he sent to Nehemiah and he said, look, now I mean what I say. You need to come talk to me because here's the reports. The reports are that you're just building this wall so that you can rebel against the government. They're reporting that you yourself want to be king. And just as soon as you get this wall built and the gate sealed, you're going to seclude yourself in there and you're going to declare yourself to be the king of the people. Now this was a pitiful lie. Okay? I mean, this was a bad accusation because if the king heard that Nehemiah is going to, wants to be king himself, ooh, it could cost him his life. It's a dirty, rotten lie is what it was. Well, Nehemiah sent back to him, and Nehemiah realized, hey, you're not telling the truth. You're lying. I know you're lying. You do what you got to do. I'm going to keep building the wall. Then he gets devious. See, Sanballat, as you read in the middle of this chapter, verses 10, 11, 12, we meet a fella named Shemaiah. See, Shemaiah should have been one of the ones that were supporting Nehemiah. He should have been one of the ones that were saying, Nehemiah, you hang in there. Why? Because he's part of the Jews. Oh, but Sanballat got a hold of that man. And he bought him. He paid him off. And he bribed him so that he would
entice Nehemiah to run into the temple and lock the doors and hide like a scared little child. And you read verses 15 and 16, the nobles of the people, they were pledged to Sanballat. Here's the point. The people that should have been supporting Nehemiah were on the side of the enemy. Okay? Because the enemy was so devious that he won them over. His own people. Hey, have you ever noticed Satan don't fight fair? Okay? He don't. And it could have been a devastating assault. Have you ever been lied to or lied about? How did it make you feel? Didn't it just make you refreshed and joyful and glad and smile? No, it didn't. I want to tell you what. You want something that's devastating. You take the people that's supposed to be supporting you, the people that's supposed to be helping you, the people that's supposed to be there for you, and you put them on the side of the enemy. Let them start telling lies about you, trying to mislead you. That'll scar you. Amen? How many of you have ever been lied about? Would you raise your hand? Did it go deep? Didn't it go deep? I'm talking about lied about with those friends, you know, those people who should have been there for you. Didn't it go to the bone? I want you to think about that just a minute. How devastating that is. How devious it is of Satan. But when that time comes, and I said earlier, you know, Satan uses people. When that time comes, you need to understand that that is still no reason for your ministry to cease. Okay? Other people do not affect what God has called you to do and what God has called you to be. And just because somebody should have or should not have done something, and just because somebody told something that wasn't true to you or about you, that is no reason to stop. You see, this is so real. This is so very real in today, because I've heard it repeatedly. Well, Brother Doug, you know, they did this to me. It doesn't matter. You know what matters? It matters that you serve the Lord faithfully, come what may. Because persistence pays off. Persistence pays off. Nehemiah won. You want to win? Do you want to win? Isn't it fun to win? I never play anything to lose. Losing is no fun. I don't care what anybody says, it's no fun. I can be... Never mind. I like to win. I'm not enjoying football season this year very much because I like to win. But I want to tell you something. Verse 15, you read, the wall was finished. They got there. They got where they were going. They accomplished what God had called them to do. I wonder if you were to ask Nehemiah, was it worth it? What did he say? Nehemiah, what about all the lies that bunch were, you know, that they were telling on you? Was it worth it? I bet Nehemiah'd back up and say, no, I'll never do this again. No, he wouldn't. He would say, you bet it was worth every sacrifice, everything. It was worth it. All the hard work, all the attacks, all the verbal abuse, all the sacrifice, I wouldn't change a thing, Nehemiah would say. And I love verse 16. At the end of verse 16, well, the whole verse.
And it happened when all our enemies heard of it. All the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. Isn't that what we're about? Let me tell you something. You can't have victory without a battle, okay? You cannot have victory without a battle. I'm suggesting to you this morning, you know, we all need to gear up. We need to be ready for the attacks of the enemy. And even when the attacks are devastating, even when the attacks are difficult, we need to keep pressing forward to our calling, because nothing is worth giving up for. Nothing. And here's the purpose. Isn't the purpose that they perceive that this work was done by our God? Isn't that what we want this community to know about Victory Missionary Baptist Church? I'll be honest with you. I don't care if the community knows who the pastor is. I don't care if they know who the associate pastor is. I want them to know that the God of the universe is doing this work in Victory Missionary Baptist Church. That's what we want them to see. They, when it come to that point, their enemy saw that, hey, this was God's. What are we doing fighting God? They won. Here's a definite fact. God always wins. The journey may be difficult. It may be tough. It may be hard. But take this to the bank. God always wins. Period. Sometimes we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. And when you get to that point, I just don't think I'm going to do this anymore. You just be reminded, God's going to win. The question is, where are you going to be when it's all said and done, the smoke clears and God wins? I want to be found in the winner's circle with God. Okay? I don't want to be some spectator cheering from the bleachers. I want to be found in the winner's circle, where God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There's never a valid reason to quit. And when it comes to that point where you feel that the price is too high, that the cost is too great, that the pain is too painful, you just remember this. God always wins. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider," Paul wrote this. And you know Paul. I mean, he was stoned, he was beaten, he was abused, he was jailed, everything. And Paul said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Can you read that with me? "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." One more time, with all your might. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." My friends, we will win because Jesus Christ has already won. Don't quit. Don't stop. We're going to win. I love the song "Victory in Jesus," don't you? I love it that I'm a member of a church called Victory. Why? Because we win. Sometimes we forget it. We get all caught up and sad because it's getting hard and, you know, we're being abused. But I said, listen, we're going to win. It's going to be all right. When the smoke clears, we're going to win. Because God has had it all planned out every step of the way. Here's the challenge. If you're a child of God and you've come to that point, maybe somebody said some really hurtful things about you, told some lies about you, well, you just chalk that up to experience and know that that is the enemy attacking you, trying to get you to quit. Nothing is worth quitting for. Okay? Nothing. Maybe you're here today You've just kind of got out of the habit of things, you know? Kind of let some things go because you got distracted in other areas. Well, listen, time for a change. We're going to win. Where are you going to be when smoke clears? Time for a rededication. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is the great part. Okay? The great part is that God loves you no matter what you've done. Okay? And we all have our story. We all have things that we should have done, would have done, could have done. Bottom line is we're all sinners. But the wonderful thing is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Today, if you have never made that commitment to Christ, where you gave your heart, your life to Him, today's the day. Today's the day to get on the winning side, to call upon Jesus as your Savior. Brother Doug, what I need to do to be saved? You just need to pray and ask Jesus to save you. Is that all there is? Yeah. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You'll never deserve it. We're saved by grace through faith. Listen, today, walk out of here a winner on the side of Christ. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for the examples that you've given us in your word. I pray, Lord, that now in this invitation, your will be done. I pray that as the troubles and trials of this life rise against us, as the enemy attacks us, Lord, help us to hold fast to your promise that you're always with us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to take our stand, and no matter what comes, help us to continue in the important work which you've called us to. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. Now I pray that you'll just freely move among us in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.